When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you.' Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we take a break from the more somber tones of Advent. We light a rose-colored candle and wear some rose-colored vestments as the church asks us to rejoice as we approach Christmas, just 9 days from now. But we also are challenged to rejoice even more at what the birth of our Savior really means for each of us, for our faith, and ultimately for our eternal salvation. In 1929, during the Great Depression, most families were unable to afford even the most basic necessities. And one day, news came a circus was coming to town. The little boy ran home, all excited, and wanted to see the circus. But his father sadly explained to him that it cost a dollar, and he didn't have a dollar that he could give his son. His heart broke as he saw the tears begin to fall from the little boy's cheeks. So the father relented a little and told his son that just maybe if he could go out and do some odd jobs and earn 50 cents, he would somehow find the other half so he could go to the circus. Beaming, the little boy accepted the challenge and almost immediately set out, trying to find ways to make his 50 cents. And sure enough, just as the circus was approaching town, he earned his last nickel. He ran to his father, who somehow had come up with that other 50 cents. And the little boy ran to town to see the circus. He stood on the curb as the circus went by. He was thrilled to watch the monkeys, the elephants, and all the performers. A clown came dancing over to him, and he put his dollar into the clown's hand. He joyfully watched as the rest of the parade went by. When it was over, he ran home and told his father he'd been to the circus and started telling him how much fun it was. The father was surprised that the boy was home so quickly and quizzed him a little and asked him to describe the circus. And he told him of the parade that went through the town, and all the performers and the jugglers, and how the clown had come up and he had given him his dollar. And the father sadly took his son into his arms and explained, "Son, you didn't really see the circus. All you saw was the parade." That little boy reminds me of so many in our world, and maybe a few of us, that during the Christmas season, we get caught up in the shopping, the gifts, the carols, the sparkling lights, the cookies, the candy, parties. They think they're experiencing what Christmas is all about. But really all we're doing is seeing the parade. We're missing the main event, the true joy of Christmas. I'm sure most of you will recognize these words. "And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons, it came without tags, that came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something that he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, didn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means a little bit more? Well, Dr. Seuss and the Grinch got it almost right. Christmas doesn't mean just a little bit more. It means a whole lot more. In fact, it means everything. It means the gates of heaven are now open for each of us. And that's one reason the church asks us today to pause and rejoice in the great gifts that we have already received. Isaiah's prophecy in our first reading has a hidden meaning. The desert and parched land he speaks of represents the hearts and souls of God's people who have turned away or become resistant to his word. But Isaiah promises that this will not always be the case, that God will act in such a way that the hearts of the people will bloom with new life, with faith, hope, and love. And Christmas is the gift that makes that happen. How can we be a part of this and not rejoice? In our gospel today, we hear John the Baptist send his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" And Jesus said to them in reply, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them." You see, John the Baptist knew the answer to that question before he asked it. But he asked those questions of his disciples so they and all of us might hear and understand that Jesus truly is the promised Messiah, the single most important gift ever offered to our world. How can we not rejoice? Our Heavenly Father has already bestowed gifts upon us beyond measure. His one holy Catholic and apostolic church, and the great tradition and magisterium of our church, the sacraments that allow us to receive the never-ending grace offered by our Creator, and of course, the most holy Eucharist that we are about to receive right here today, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ himself, the bread of life offered to sustain us as we journey to those gates now open to welcome us. How can we not rejoice? You know, it's been said that until one feels the Christmas spirit in their heart, that there really is no Christmas. All else is outward display. So much tinsel, so many trees and decorations. For it isn't the holly, and it isn't the snow. It isn't the tree or the firelight's glow. It's the warmth that comes to the hearts of men when the Christmas spirit returns again. If we don't allow the warmth of Christmas into our hearts, then we're only seeing the parade. For Christmas doesn't come from the store, and it means so very, very, very much more. So today, we pause to rejoice and be glad for all as God has already bestowed upon us. And I pray we will all open our hearts, for in just 9 days, we will celebrate as love itself, love incarnate, enters our world. And if you believe that love is the strongest thing in the world, stronger than hate, stronger than evil, stronger than even death, and if you believe that the blessed life which began in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago, when the Son of God was born in the image and light of eternal love, then you can move beyond the parade and experience the wonder and joy that is the main event. Brothers and sisters, maybe Santa does come down the chimney, but it's not really Christmas until he enters your heart.